intended to start with 12, but it's too late now.
Thank you.
speak to Richard about that plane in Xanadu. Tell her he relied on blessing too much. Did he smile and say, trust you, wearing a running shoe? Was his pardon for your felony a crutch? It's been 5 long years since you brought me in Chico. Now you're in the back of the truck. But that's what's wrong, Rob. Let's try to Chico. Goodbye, and Enrico, good work. So goodbye, and Enrico, good luck. Each one has its own little pocket. It might just be a couple cents or a couple microns, more or less than where you work. Especially if it's in the same key as where you work. So it's essential to find its particular pocket, which I'm trying to do while speaking to you. Which is an actual skill, and it's a skill set that I don't have. A lot of lounge players, the guys behind the piano playing Felix and Taco Bell's camera, you know, jar waiting for two. They can do this until the cows come home. I always admired that. They can have a conversation, sing a song, play the piano, talk to the crowd. All at the same time. It all suffers, of course. But you don't care because you're doing so much. This is seconds dragging by. I climbed the hill to Julie's house, the place I used to be. I climbed the steps and tried the door and let myself in. The kitchen clock I used to watch had stopped at 5 to 5. A photograph I'd never seen in a dark game of the drive. She laughed at what I had said. She said that I'd grow, believing I was what mattered most. That I'd uncover real feelings when I'm. Thank you. developed a habit early on of not playing a lot of the requests that I was getting, which is contrary to the principles of show business, if there are any. It began to dawn on me after a couple of decades that this was so, that if they came to hear these tunes and you don't play them, why would they come back? And if Mick Jagger can still sing Satisfaction, why can't I play the stuff that I thought I was done with the minute I realized what I had done? Which is why I didn't play them. I didn't like them. I just thought they were humiliating. And I've done it to and I've done it to myself, so to actually respond to the request and play the thing was more than twice the humiliation that I had initially heaped upon myself. As far as I'm concerned, it's got something to do with something. For example, I pay my manager 1% and my agent 1%, but they both take from the same top. So how much I give them is not the sum of their percentage. Well, it is, actually. So I meant to say something else, but I just don't have the words for it. I'm reminded of a post-mortem I attended when I was 14 years old. I had been working as a volunteer at a VA hospital in Muskogee, Oklahoma. My dad was the entertainment director at this hospital. Here I am. It was a difficult job for him, but I went in and I volunteered and I did some very tedious work. I mounted the backlog of EKG strips on 8.5 by 12 sort of things, and according to the leads, and I just sit there and cut, paste, clip, staple all day long, and I put in more hours that year than anyone in the state volunteering had put in. And I put in more than twice as many hours as they could acknowledge on the year-end ceremony giving you your certificate, And instead, I carry a grudge about that. In other words, I put in, the biggest certificate they had was 100 hours. I put in like 240. So they gave me 2 100. Why not on the other side give me 300 hours? But it was the VA. At the time, one of my reasons for being here was that I wanted to be a doctor. And not only a doctor, I wanted to be a neurosurgeon. I learned from this experience never to have a goal. By definition, it's always something beyond, let alone something you're never going to get, but in this instance. But it's just out there. Why live your life out there when you're not there? That was my reasoning, but my rationale is probably more accurate. And one day, somebody took pity on me and thought that maybe I could get something more out of my volunteering, and they said, would you like to see some organ posts? We got the chief pathologist for the state from OU coming in, you can attend. So I went down there, and he had a brain, he had a heart, he had something, a couple other things, parts. He was speaking in Latin. There was a microphone hanging over his head. He acknowledged my presence. He looked a little frightened. A 14-year-old boy walks in your lab and, what is this ghoul doing here? And he starts, and he had amazing techniques. A couple nines, and he's just ballet with the brain, which had been fixed. So it was like a walnut. He did that thing where the chefs do, where they you could see through the little sheets of brain that he was laying out there, and babbling away and I'm this and that part, that thing, you know, lunch money, spare change, cigarette butt, and all in Latin. And at one point he stopped. He had a German accent, and he looked at me and he said, "That's the medulla oblongata." And I said, "I know." So this is what I've done here is that this begins with a tune that I could never stand to play, and I realized that part of it was that it didn't have an end, it didn't finish. Which is a good reason to assume that it wasn't finished and that it would be silly to play it in concert. You know, it's like 67 years ago, our forefathers, thank you very much, we walk off. We wouldn't be reciting that speech today if he, except that he finished it. And then in front of New Nation, I should probably finish what I'm saying right now. So in this instance, I found a couple other things that I don't play anymore. Well, one other. It followed, really, from what didn't finish. It made it look like it was supposed to be that way. So I'll play that now. Also, another reason that I didn't play this thing was that it had a horrible, horrible title, which I stole from Alfred Lord Tennyson, an old friend of mine. I don't know how I got this thing. I wasn't a big Tennyson fan. It's The Brain of the Purple Mountain, which is not one of his better lines. It's not one of the better lines in all of English literature. It's one of the worst, actually. And it's not a title of a poem. It's a little clause within another poem that has to carry the burden of that clause. I'd like to play it for you. Thank you. I haven't seen him in a long time. time, I assume we're still friends, still getting along, how would you know, but you assume that was being plagued. I love to talk about this guy, this particular nut, who called himself the Torch, who had been plaguing my friend's neighborhood with extortion notes in mailboxes that said, "I will burn your house down unless you put $20 in this mailbox." Signed, and it would sign it as a sign. The Torch. And Ron loved this guy, Ron Nichols. The guy I'm talking about, the Torch, I don't know his, what his mom called him. Ron knew that, as did everyone in the neighborhood, that it would not even be a matter of time before they caught the Torch, because he'd be the guy going down opening everybody's mailbox. You're under arrest. Ron was worried that he wouldn't get his extortion note, and he desperately needed one to fill out some of the more, you know, nagging dissatisfactions in his life. And he called me one day to say that he had gotten his note, and said, "By the way, you should do this song," and he sent this thing, and it was written by Tom C. Hall. Ron also wrote a couple lyrics with melodies that I had written, neither of which I can sing anymore, because they were recorded on a differently pitched guitar. Took me a long time to figure out how to do this. It's a Herman Brady. A little fast, though. This is my nod to Orville Redenbacher. I'm the guy who didn't learn many battles before. Educated well in touch, good girl in our town. Wonder where I'm meeting today, and she had loved me too. Probably the drive them catch the school. And I guess now we don't know about me. All night in good time, call my brother around. One of these days I might be in your town. I guess I know it all about the plan. See the lights of the cities, and I've been inside the door. Sailed to foreign countries and watched on their shore. Guess the man she married was the best part of my life. She broke in good and drove the pickup truck. And I guess I love it all to come around. All my good times, all my brother around. One of these days I might be in your town. And I guess I owe it all to come around. Thank you. I don't have to tell you just how beautiful she was. Everything it takes to get a guy like me in love. Oh Lord, I hope she's happy, cause she sure deserves to be, especially for what she did for me. And I guess I owe it all to her. All my good times, all my rough around. I'm in New York town, and I guess I owe it all to the ground. I guess I owe it all to the ground. Through a roof in Thailand and broke her back. She recovered completely and came back to the States and became a lawyer. Gustav Holst, who was born and raised in England. His folks had an infatuation with the Kaiser or something. It sounded similar to what I had done. I thought of suing Gustav, but he wrote his and he died long before I was born, so I couldn't make a dime on it. It's an amazing verse. It's followed by several other verses, which we won't have to hear tonight because my great sense of proportion and balance tells me that they're just wretched and should never have been written in a first place. If you've got a really good verse, do it twice. In the bleak winter, frosty wind made moan. The earth as hard as iron, water turned to stone. Snow is falling, snow on snow, snow on snow on snow. The empty winter. Long, long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the E chord that I made up, just the fact of it was enough. Later on, I got involved with the sound of the thing. And I'm convinced that if I stopped playing, I'll just get sick again and drop off, like I was about to do when I think I was about 12, maybe 13. I was told, I'd been on my back for a couple of months, I was told not to sit up. My folks were basically incurious and could never tell me why this was. And later on, when I'd grown up and become the prying little snot that I am, I said, what the hell is wrong with me? I said, well, I don't know. Well, I don't, you know, don't you know? I was, I don't know. Anyhow, to balance that out, my mom heard me singing along with the radio one day and brought home this toy guitar. And I was hooked immediately. I sat up, I remember the sky, the weather, everything. And something happened. I mean, I felt all of it. I was a parent, I don't know. I left the living dead and became the living undead. And I knew that this was all I wanted. And the problem with that is, first it's all you want, then it's all you've got. You go around for a while thinking that you really lucked out until you find out, well, but you couldn't change a thing because you have no choice. That's the thing. It's like Ken Kesey said when he put out this book called The Demon Box. He went around and visited some of the people at what was left of him who had been on the magic bus with him. Going around when acid was still legal, just out of their minds, and helping other people to leave their minds as well, which they did leave and spent the rest of them, well, some of them, or a lot of the rest of their sort of life trying to look for the life they had left. This is the thrust of the book, Demon Box. I encourage you to read it, but not if you've taken very much acid. It's a great book. So not everybody wound up in an institution or something, or walked off into the moonrise in the Atlantic. What am I trying to say? Well, he did an interview during a promotional tour, and in the interview he was asked if he had any regrets about this, and what it would have been like for him with all of the acid that he took and this stuff. And he said, well, when you take acid, you learn a lot, but you pay a price. I think that's what this guitar is. There are people who are lucky enough like me to find a guitar. Well, what I'm getting at is I was a trombone player when I found the guitar. Another reason why my mom thought if I was going to be flat on my back, it might be better to have a guitar than a trombone. She was right about that. And I had previously to the trombone attempted the violin, which I quit in about 3 years. I was very young. I started when I was 5. I quit because it hurt, and because I couldn't play the thing, and most of all, because it didn't have my number on it. You don't know what instrument has your number on it. You don't know which one you're supposed to be playing. It makes a big difference. They're wonderful musicians, virtuoso, playing instruments they weren't made to play. I know that's true. It has to be true. Because it can be done. The probabilities are thin. You know, it's kind of quantum-like in that way, but it does happen. me, I was supposed not to play the trombone, although I was going to devote my life to it. I thought it would be my job. Guitar came along, and the job was out the window. It didn't matter. I just hadn't had those. I've thought since about people finding the instrument they're made for, and if, you know, I mean, for me, it was a guitar. I was lucky. There are some guitars around, but some people, you know, there are piccolo players who were born to the piccolo. Imagine that. This is my instrument. This is me. They work one day out of the year, on 4th of July. That's it. Poor soul. But I know that they don't care because it's what they need. Later on, after the guitar got made and started, there were no records in Muskogee where this happened. No players that I could find. And in Virginia, written by and recorded by Pete Seeger. And there's a gold mine in here about the right hand, the great tune. Guitar to wind up with. it's a little. Singing sergeants of the Air Force. You know, you should wonder about that. I was in the Navy for a while. But, so I went over to this guy's house, and some friend of mine, I don't know, some weird lineup. Went over there because I thought, well, what the hell? And he said, well, let me hear you. And I decided, he said, oh, well. And he had me do two things. He didn't say, well, sing this scale or or what is it, Lyle? Lyle Lover does something back there. I just want to strangle him. You know? Where's Lyle's dressing room? I can hear him. And then he comes out and he sounds great, but you know, he has to do something awful. There are people who have rituals before they go on stage, and largely they have to do a stage play. I know of a woman who, I don't know her, who is a performer and sings always with a band, and before she goes on, she has to be slapped by each member of the band. But I'm a tuba player who could not go on unless he gagged. If he actually wound up vomiting, it didn't work. And he went on having, torn himself apart and the stage fright. So he carried his own little spoon, and he just a little bit would do the trick for him. It was a real balancing act. I don't have any of those, but I get really depressed before I go on. It's like clockwork. It starts about 2 hours before you go on. I have friends here tonight, and they obscured my despair. Which is dangerous, because I have also learned that if I'm having a great time back there before I come on, I can't play. I have to get. But I digress. The problem with that is sometimes I forget what I digress from. So I'll have to leave you here. She jumps up, running up the stairs. She jumps up. Someone told her a long time ago. 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 Sergeant that I digress from. So instead of some vocal exercises or solfege, you know, theory, he said, lie down on the floor. I said, I'd like to go home now. I laid down on the floor. I said, now sing. Flat on my back. Stand up, and he opened the door, and he said, grab the knob on each side of the door, like this, and pull as hard as you can, and sing. That was the end of my lessons, and the end of my colloquy with a singing sergeant. Thank you. Sticking a couple other things in there that were fine, I thought, but they didn't work. I realized that no matter what I did, it would be an anachronism. It couldn't work, because I wrote this, and, you know. And so I went back to when I wrote it, I wonder what it was, let's say 60-something. And I stole something from somebody who had written it in the 60s. And it fit right in, so. I would like to thank Tommy James and the Shondells for Boner is an opinion. No, he is a boner. When you have no hope. Sort of how the Third Reich got started. This is a song, you know, in the interviews you're often asked where your tunes come from or what your inspiration is and all that, and there's no answer to that stuff. You don't know, and except that sometimes long after you've written something, it associates itself. It's very naturally with something. But it wasn't there in the beginning. It just happens to pop up. And in this case, what popped up, long after I'd written this thing, and it's been recorded as an instrumental with Chet Atkins and with a vocal with Mike Borden. It wasn't until all of that was done that I realized that, I had my own solo thing on it, but that this is really about somebody. And it's a friend of mine it was weird. I mean, I moved a lot growing up, lived in a lot of different places, but I would cross paths with a guy who lived in Minnesota from grade school on up. So I got to know a lot about him, and his girlfriend in high school liked to go to the emergency room. You know, he would say, well, what do you want to do tonight? She'd say, let's go to the emergency room. Oh, Jim, I had such a great time tonight. Pretty broken legs and a concussion. I think that's what this song's about. When the lights along the street, when the TV's in the hotel chair, thank you. can't do this. He can't stop. I can quit anytime I want to. If it didn't work, I'm going to do it again. So I just, yeah.
Thank you.
thanks. This is kind of a little fuzzy there. I can't remember what got fuzzy, so I don't do that. Here's a doll. Show business happened in Cheyenne when I was pretty little. I was in maybe the fourth grade. Going to Pioneer School, I fell out of a tree, ripped myself to shreds. All kinds of things happened. We all made these little short billy clubs so that we could roll the janitor of our grade school. Because they carry so much money. My job was to drill out, actually, wait a minute. My job was to load the billy clubs with lead. So I had a little, authority. And we're in the fourth, fifth grade. Our plan was to jump out of a dumpster that sat in front of the school when the janitor came out at the end of his workday. And we'd just take him down at the knees, I guess. It's more fun in the planning than in the execution. And so I got to, several of these clubs that had been turned somewhere in a lane. But the hole drilled me in, and I went down and grabbed all of these tire weights behind the gas station. Can't do that anymore. And I melted them in a coffee can in my backyard, and I loved watching it melt. Which means that I stood there, all day long, just huffing lead. I wasn't, by the way, stirring it with my finger. And it is beautiful, but it's dumb to hang your kid. I don't know. And then you pour it into the billy club. One of us, Harold Erickson, later fell down a missile silo on the airbase when they're installing Nike missiles. Another one blew up. Virgil Dial actually exploded. I think his mom exploded him. Virgil was not a popular somebody told me that we make our most, our big changes, or the things that you live with the rest of your life, that are you, before we're 6 years old. And I can understand that. It'd be much harder if I was older than six, to make the choices that I made. Like, I am here, I am homo sapien. Show business and anything that involves a stage and show business. I was around the third, fourth grade, and a carnival came into town, and we'd been in a 3-year drought at Cheyenne. And I went down there to try and get work to see if I could make some money. And I wound up in front of the elephants, or maybe two, I can't remember, I don't remember. This is a carnival traveling around Wyoming. And the guy said, you know, get me some water, I want, you know, for my elephants. So I went across the street with these buckets that were bigger than me and filled them with some poor souls from their spigot. Dragged them back to the elephants, who couldn't have been too thrilled to see this. And, you know, waited for my money. I hadn't gotten the deal. I didn't know that I was even going to be paid. I hadn't said, what do I get? I had nothing. And he gave me a little roll of tickets for the carnival, which was going through little towns in Wyoming. There's nothing there you want to bother with. But it's all I had. I went to something called the hammer, which was a pot on the end of the arm that did this. And it was sitting on the dirt. So it would jump, the whole thing would jump around when the arm is, I mean, it wasn't anchored anywhere. This was bad. I didn't know, and I got in the thing, and I'm little, and it's, you know, I'm too little for this thing. Anybody is too much of a human being to get in this thing. They're made of squishy stuff, and this thing is jumping around at 5 billion pounds, whooping. And I got in the pot, and there's a little grill in front of you with this much room below the grill and above it. And he, you know those chains you see on a screen door? That's what I had to hold me into mind. It wasn't a seat, it was just a kind of a board. And the thing took off backwards, I fell out to the front. To a point, I grabbed whatever I could, hung on, and just hoped like hell. But I did survive it. I got off the thing, and the guy who was running it ran out to check the ground. He did this after every ride for spare change. This is a prosperous girl. So I went, you know, I thought, well, okay, and there's this thing, you know, you hit the thing with a hand, with a mallet, and you ring the bell, and nobody rings the bell. I hit the thing, I rang the bell. My spirits lifted, and the guy who, you know, let me ring the bell, I thought, oh man, what about now? Pay off, he gave me a condom. I'm in the fourth grade, he gave me a condom. All my friends heard about me, condom. anymore. I quit for a long time. But when I'm alone, I still play a song. And that's why it closes. I want to thank you for coming out tonight. It's great.
Call me Nicole.
you been so long? Come in and call me. Where you been so long? Yeah, I've been worried about you ever since you've been. I've got a bird that whistles, a bird that sings. But if I got cold, life don't mean a thing. The bottom of the sea. I walk the world on the bottom of the sea. 'Cause I can't breathe when she talks to me. Corina, Corina, where you've been so long? Corina, Corina, where you've been so long? And I've been worried about you ever since you've been.
Hoje, o dono de Leo Patti.